This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
We have Nikki Barth on the phone. Nikki Barth is the Chief Executive of LGBTIQ Plus Health Australia, formerly known, I believe, as the National LGBTI Health Alliance. Good morning to you, Nikki.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me along this morning. Hopefully we'll have a little longer to talk about some of the issues for our communities in the budget than you think that we may have.
Well, hopefully. When we previewed it in terms of what was in the budget for our community, I said it could be a short segment.
Indeed. And I was at that time about to have a sip of my tea and choked with laughter.
Nikki, I've actually read your 2021 policy priorities document. I imagine that was your bid to the federal government, which outlined your policy priorities for investment. And I would actually encourage people to look at it because it's a very succinct and a very good document and very well drafted. So congratulations on putting that together. It also outlines some pretty sobering facts and figures that are relevant to our community. Like, for example, 3/4 of all members of our community at one point in time did actually consider attempting suicide in their life. Now, that's pretty sobering.
The stats for the health and wellbeing of our community are shocking. And the backstory to that, I think, is that what we see when we have the studies like Writing Themselves In and Private Lives is that the data isn't really changing very much. And so, yes, these figures are highly concerning. And, you know, I'm not confident that unless we see great change, that those figures are really going to change a great deal.
I think one of the, you know, we can look at the figures and we can look at how the money's been spent. We can look about, you know, if you look at particular state budgets, you see the amount of money and attention that is paid to the LGBTQI plus community versus what the federal government spends. And it's a very stark contrast, isn't it?
Well, there is a stark contrast. And I think what's important to sort of say with regards to what happens at a jurisdiction level, that varies greatly too. I mean, if you were to look at the jurisdictional investment in Victoria versus what happens even you know, in WA, or if you have a look at what happens in the Northern Territory, Tasmania, the ACT, New South Wales, like, you know, if you compare everyone, in fact, in comparison to Victoria. At the national level, the investment varies as to the way that money flows through into each of the jurisdictions. I think that, you know, there's also some hidden investment that comes. There's hidden investment also at the national level with regards to what floods through into the jurisdictions. But, I mean, it trickles, it doesn't flood.
Give us some examples of what that might look like, Nikki.
So there's the investment that we see from the Commonwealth that heads through into the NGO treatment grant. So some of our full members, which are the community-controlled LGBTIQ plus health organisations, receive some of that money for drug and alcohol work. There's the federal funding that we receive for QLife. And in fact, for QLife, hidden sort of within the digital health commitment is money for QLife. We don't have confirmation on that amount of money, but we don't imagine that that's not going to be insignificant for the next financial year. And so there are bits and pieces of money that come through. Ageing money, for example, comes through us for training, which is put out to the jurisdictions for training of ageing and aged care workforce. And there's money that also comes federally with regards to ageing for things like the LGBTI community visitor scheme. Now, that's not jurisdiction-wide, although we have just had some movement to support some volunteer capacity within the ACT in Tasmania, but Northern Territory still doesn't have an LGBTI CVS program. So there are bits of money that come through, but what we are really concerned about, there's no national consistency with that, and there's no oversight to see where the money is going, to evaluate that money, and for us to really see where the gaps are, which is why we're advocating for the 10-year LGBTI Health and Wellbeing Action Plan.
I was going to say, in your policy priorities document, you talk about national coordination, you talk about better data and research, and you talk about there being a long-term 10-year plan. So they are some of the key elements that would actually help to pave the way for a longer-term vision and a longer-term approach to improving the health and well-being of members of our community. So has any of that been funded?
So, I mean, the funding, we put that through as a budget ask for the National Action Plan. And no, we don't see that as a designated item within the budget. But I still hold hope for that in the sense that there are systems that we sit within to advocate and lobby for that to still come into fruition. Because that document, as we're not asking for a strategy, what we're asking with that document is to sit down and look at the existing national strategies, because we're a priority population in a number of strategies, the drug and alcohol strategy, mental health strategy. And what we want to do is pull all of that information out into one place, look at what the actions are, look at what the outcomes are, so we can then put an evaluation framework around that and look to see where the gaps are. At the moment, we don't have that overarching guiding document, so we're not really looking for a great deal of money in actually pulling that document together. What we then need to do, however, then, is have the money in the back of that to be able to meet the objectives that were, as are described in the current, and these are current Commonwealth documents. So, I really think that one of the keys to the door for us with regards to really fully understanding also what's going on is the need for us to get the good data. And as you will know, we're often invisible in many data sets. And thankfully, the ABS now has released the standard for sex gender variation, for sex characteristics and sexual orientation. And if we can get those embedded into data systems across health, we'll start to see needs and we'll be able to start to have a greater evidence.
Nikki, I didn't know that the ABS had done that. So that, in a sense, sets the benchmark for all states, jurisdictions, research bodies, etc., to more uniformly collect this data now, doesn't it?
Oh, look, absolutely. And I always look at that as a kind of like a consolation prize in some ways, because we were unsuccessful in getting those variables into the upcoming census, but this work was done around the generation of those standards, was done with an advisory group of community reps. We were part of that. It took work forward that had been undertaken by Bridget Hare at UNSW. And so while those standard we know isn't perfect, it is a really good workable compromise. And if we can get those embedded and we have commitment from Minister Hunt that those variables will go into all health surveys, so the mental health and wellbeing survey that's being undertaken at the moment, that's going to be having those variables in it. And what's also important is the more that we have those embedded, yes, we need the evidence, but we're paving the way for the inclusion of those in the 2026
fantastic.
Census.
That's
fantastic.
Great. Yeah,
very pleased about that. Very pleased. And it was brilliant working with the ABS. We have a very good relationship with them.
I'm furiously searching the internet to find what it looks like because I'm very interested in this.
You can pop to our website.
Oh, okay.
Have a fact sheet on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely. I will definitely do that.
We'll do that, and we'll put a link on our excuse me, on our podcast.
Just a negative question before we wrap up, because we're sort of approaching that time frame, Nikki. What's your biggest disappointment with the federal budget as it relates to our community?
I think my biggest disappointment would be that we're not specifically framed within the budget. However, I always try to be the, you know, the cup half full person, and I think that what we need to do is to have the lens over the budget of where we can see the levers within it for the benefits of our community. There's $2.3 billion going into mental health. There's $17.7 billion going into ageing. And there are levers within that that we can make sure that the needs of our communities are tended to. We just have to work hard at that. And we've got great partners out there working with us to raise the profile of our communities. And we've got a government that has an ear to our issues. And we really need to be making the absolute most of that. And, you know, there's that money for QLife coming through. And I also just want to recognise very quickly that the PHN-led suicide prevention trials, two of which focus on our communities in Brisbane North and northwestern Melbourne, yes, they'll continue for another 12 months.
Oh, that's great news.
Yes, it's really great news. And so, look, lots missing in the budget, and we will continue to advocate for our policy priorities. Lots of opportunities for us in the budget to push those levers.
And to finish up, Nikki, what's the thing that you're most pleased about? Just to try and end up on a positive note.
I think there are a number of things to be pleased about. I think that if we can navigate well within ageing, that $17.7 billion is going to make an absolute difference to the aged care landscape. And this money and the way that the sort of infrastructure as we move forward that's going to be in place for mental health and suicide prevention is going to be really helpful for us. And we're looking forward to making the most out of this while recognising those deficits. But there's lots of opportunities and lots of levers for us. I'm happy to come back anytime and talk to you about those in more detail.
We would love that. Yeah, and if you're ever in Melbourne, please let us know, and we'll we'd love to introduce you to our new studios, of course, at the Victorian Pride Centre in St. Yes. Kilda. So you are very, very welcome, Nikki.
Yes,
fantastic.
Thank you so much. Love your work and your commitment to it. It's always good to, you know, to speak about these issues. So thank you very much, and have a nice Saturday.
Thank you so much for having me, and great to be part of your program. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.